I'm not sure that I ever noticed before how close are at least one of the themes from Christmas and Epiphany Tide to the theme that's put before us today in this liturgy. The welcome theme. Remember Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, and the pregnant mother can't find a welcome place to bring forth her baby. And then it takes some foreigners from another country to recognize and give honor to this guest from God. And finally, they even have to leave their own country and run away to a foreign land searching for a welcome. The themes are so familiar, we shared them together, and here we are confronted now with the reality of Jesus, who's come to teach and to touch and transform us, being given a rousing welcome today with the glorious sounds of a mariachi band in this place, then with the shouts and glad cries of children, Hosanna, welcome, with only a few days later to be so soundly and roundly rejected that that rejection would become one of the most dramatic points in all of history. So today is a day of glad and glorious welcome, knowing that the welcome will be terminated and that the one welcomed will be gotten rid of in a matter of days. As I thought about this, I considered all the different ways that we say welcome. Bienvenidos, bienvenue, but all of those that I know are really just translations of the phrase that we use, well come. Come well, you have come at a good time. It is well you have come. Hope you are well as you come. Give you whatever meaning you want. They're basically the same words, but in Swahili, in East Africa, the people say karibu. It's fascinating. It doesn't mean well come at all. It's the same word you use to say near. For example, mimi ni naka karibu na kanisa. I live near the church. Karibu, kanisa. Karibu, near. So in Swahili, when someone comes and says, as they always do, beautifully polite people who spoke that language that I had the privilege to work among, they always say hodi, which is to say, is all well? Anyone with any grace at all says karibu, which means come near. Come near to me. Come to my space, my place. And with that in mind, it makes it possible to have some very interesting reflections about even that welcome we just gave a few minutes ago. Mariachi band and all, out in the glorious sunshine. What did we really mean, and how sincerely were we actually saying to Jesus, come near? Because we all know that almost every welcome we've ever given has certain limits on it. There are certain boundaries beyond which we don't really mean come any nearer. Now, scripture scholars might invite you to speculate, were the people who were there on Palm Sunday putting their coats and sweaters and cloaks on the road and waving the palm branches, were they really the same people who were so nasty to Jesus, spitting at him as he trudged up the hill with his cross? In a sense, it really doesn't matter. Some of the scholars say, no, a lot of those people who were there for the big welcome, the glorious party, had gotten on with things. They were off elsewhere, had kind of left all that behind. Everybody likes a parade. But then some people had moved on back to the routine things of their life. It doesn't really matter. The point the church is trying to make is that you and I and we have an incredible capacity to say, Karibu, welcome, come near to Jesus, even with fanfare and trumpet, and then take it back when we find out what his nearness does to us. We've noticed it before, but we haven't noticed it enough, that we as a people say Karibu of sorts, bienvenidos, to people in Mexico and other Central American countries, because we want them to pick our fruit and bring in our harvest. But the very people who work to make sure our immigration laws are strict enough to keep out the unwanted also insist that the laws be written so that we can say welcome for the season to peasant laborers and be free to tell them go on back home when the crop is in. And if Jesus is not in the hearts and the flesh of those pickers, those peasants, then Jesus isn't anywhere to be welcomed on earth today. This would all be just pomp and circumstance and pretense that we're going through here. The Jews, who would at best recognize Jesus as a great prophet, are still called by God to give a welcome to him and his coming in whatever way. And the Jews, in some sense, say a very guarded welcome to other people who reverence some of the same holy places. But in all this time, they haven't gotten anywhere near figuring out how to say welcome to a people whose deepest aspiration is to have a place they can call their own, from which they in turn could then say welcome to other brothers and sisters. In Northern Ireland, those people who are killing each other are all Christians. For all practical purposes, the people in Northern Ireland are either Protestant or Catholic. They all claim salvation in the name of Jesus. They all celebrate Palm Sunday with slight variations on the theme. And they are in the streets killing each other. They have not learned how to say welcome to Jesus and really mean it when he comes with the challenge of differences in social status, with differences in deeply held belief, and so on. You know, to accept the sacrament of baptism is to say welcome to Jesus. And he doesn't give you a contract ahead of time. If you let me in, I won't push you too far. I won't demand too much. Baptism's an unconditional welcome. And by the time we're early teenagers, most of us learned how to soften that welcome. As I've said before, it's a common complaint of teenagers. You know, well, I didn't ask to be Catholic. My parents made that decision when I was a kid. I'm not going to be responsible for that. Well, they're not all that different from some of their elders, who find more sophisticated sounding ways to rationalize not living out that dramatic welcome to Jesus that is given in baptism. And in any case, most of us are confirmed. We can't put on the same pretense in describing our infancy. We were, for the most part, old enough to know what we were doing when we let a bishop or his representative seal us with the Holy Spirit and say, you will be a sign of the Christ presence to others. You will find him, welcome him, embrace him in the human condition. For that matter, every Eucharist is a welcome to Jesus. And we do mean to welcome him, or we wouldn't be here today. We would not have participated in the ceremony to this point if we didn't mean in some way, welcome Lord Jesus, Karibu Kwetu, come to our place, come into our midst. We mean to say that, but we are, if we could only be truthful about it, during this Holy Week, forever finding ways to put a certain hold on that welcome. Come near, but not too near. Come close, Lord, but don't crowd me too much. Come into my space, but leave me enough room to escape, to move aside. I think, on a very personal level, I suppose it'd be a consolation to you to know that when I prepare these homilies, I don't always think about your sins and failings. Sometimes I actually have to confront my own. And I think, for example, remember the welcome we used to give to homeless people? Those of you who are newer to the parish may not even know that. We used to have 18 men at any given time living in the basement of the rectory. Now we've renovated it and made it beautiful meeting rooms. I remember at the time I saw it as a very difficult and painful decision. I had become a full-time and then some caretaker of a shelter and felt that I wasn't meeting my other responsibilities as a pastor. But sometimes I wonder if there was a little extra rationalization in that. It still bothers me a bit. And in any case, how about you who let me do it? Do you know that not one person in the parish, not one of you said to me at the time, big mistake, Father. Sheltering the homeless is the most powerful sign of the life of Jesus in our community. Not one of you resisted me on that. And I know that some of you in your way echoed my whew. And remember I said, if we close the shelter, then we must open ourselves in other ways, get more involved in the larger question of homelessness, to work harder to see that there are decent living places for poor people who are being crowded out all the time. How much more have you done? How much more have I done? How much more have we done since then to reallocate and, if possible, increase those energies and that commitment? To open our arms and our hearts and to risk ourselves in welcome karibu to Jesus. It's worth thinking about. Right now, we continue, as we have in the past, as a civil community, as a civic community. We welcome low-income people to come and work for us as babysitters and domestic help and as clerks and waiters and waitresses in our stores and shops. How much of us make sure that that welcome to come and work for us includes also a concern and involvement to see that those working people have a decent and respectable place to live? How many of us are how much involved in issues like that? It's questions like that we should be asking ourselves today in this liturgy. We ought to be concerned that our Hosanna, our karibu to Jesus today, is not just some empty sign. Should you read today's bulletin? There's a welcome in there. It says, Domingo de Pascua, la misa será celebrada en español totalmente. Invitamos a todos nuestros feligreses que hablan español a asistir y celebrar la resurrección del Señor con cantos de alegría y oraciones. Which is to say, on Easter Sunday, we're going to have a special mass at 12:30, all in Spanish. The celebrant will be a Father Terencio O'Connell, who will be a visitor among us, but who can really speak Spanish. And on 12:30 on Easter Sunday, we're going to say to anybody who cares to hear it, among our neighbors, near and far, we will give a sign of welcome of the Lord Jesus to celebrate our Eucharist in a language that is your first language and you're able to understand, but you know, we better watch out. I think I did that in your name. Once the moment came that I found a Spanish-speaking priest, I'll be honest about it, who I knew did not have politics absolutely in opposition to my own. Once I found a Spanish-speaking priest who shares something of my vision of the gospel, I said, the moment has come. At last, we can say to our Hispanic neighbors, we want you to be part of our community and our family. I think I was acting in your name, but what if they take us seriously and they start coming? And they make us realize they have more problems than we knew about. What if they actually expect us, having extended this welcome, to start getting involved in their lives? Suppose they open up to us more than we even know now. How really unfair this society is to people who haven't mastered the English language and who are late arrivals. We might want to pull back a little on that caribou, that bienvenidos that we might give to these people. Time will tell. We will be tested, because we're being tested every day on the quality and the condition or conditions of this welcome that we give to the Lord Jesus. One thing you can be sure of, nobody ever really said welcome to Jesus and then found it only included a joyful holiday. I mentioned the earlier Mass. Very common American expression may tell us more about ourselves than we'd like to know. I've heard it said so many times, I think I've repeated it. I'll bet some of you have. Guests, like fish, begin to smell after a few days. You know, you ever heard that expression? There are places in this world where that could never be said. People could not possibly conceive of talking about a visitor that way. But I've heard that many times, because it's part of our culture, in fact, to have certain limits on our welcome. Oh yes, come to my house. But don't stay too long. Don't push it. Oh, I'd be glad to help for a while. Oh, I'm really, really sorry to hear about your problem. I'll pray for you. That one is nice because it sounds so good. I'm going to put this in the hands of the boss as I get on doing other things. Well, it happened once in history in so dramatic a way that God's people have felt the need to replay it each year in the solemn context of liturgy. God came to earth as man, as someone just like us, entered into our lives, and our forebears welcomed him. But then when they found out what was involved, a lot of them ran scared. Others actually turned against him and tried to rationalize that rejecting him was as appropriate as having welcomed him in the first place. And sisters and brothers, the church keeps replaying it in liturgy, in ceremony like this every year, because it's going on in the day-to-day, down-to-earth reality of our lives, not just every year, but every day and every hour. Christ comes, is coming, and will continue persistently to come into our midst, and he awaits our answer. We can say, Karibu, welcome, come near, bienvenidos, bienvenue, it is so good, it was appropriate, it was right that you should come to me like this. He's waiting to hear our welcome, and he will see, and he will know, and we will eventually have to face what was the quality and how conditioned was that welcome. Please God, in this liturgy, willing to have it cost us an awful lot, I pray that in a new way, with a new depth of sincerity, we've come this morning to say to Jesus, the Lord, in the flesh and in the reality of our fellow human beings, oh, welcome, Lord Jesus. Karibu, come near. We welcome you with all our hearts.